Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Well, and a special guest in studio for 2 hours. Welcome in Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago. Danny Burke is here. Great to be with you on a Wednesday. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Can tap the line, Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. On Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, and at Searles 71 underscore HSKR. Plenty of room for you. Show is wide open to join us. Chime in. We'll talk plenty of Nebraska basketball as the march to March continues. As Searles got his dancing shoes on, he'll be getting fired up about that. That's a loud chair. Another to do thing. It's Valentine's Day, so we might whine about that a little bit. Jake Milhuizen's going to be with us as standout Husker 4-year captain, part of the radio broadcast team. So Jake will be with us in about 15 minutes, and then a jock doc later on. You have the numbers to get in. Searles, it is wonderful to see you. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm excited to be back. I'm finally back in Lincoln for the off season. I mean, it was crazy there for a while, but it's good to be back. Good to be back in studio, and it's always a good time.
Man, you're awesome. We love catching up, absolutely, spending time doing the show together. So here's what we'll get into with Jeremiah on. We'll talk plenty of Nebraska football with him as it's the Frost era. We'll get his take on his time in Minnesota. What a year Minnesota had, 13-3, the Minneapolis Miracle. Jay, you were on with us the week following that happened. And then we'll get into some recruiting. Personalities that are coming into the NFL, personalities that are coming in to the college ranks. So we'll spend some time with that. You were doing radio work on Radio Row. And man, it sounds like the week you spent at the Super Bowl in your hometown of Minneapolis now was incredible. We'll get some thoughts on that. So that's the layout here. But we need to worry about finding you a way to get into PBA, correct?
Yes, it's impossible to get in, which is awesome, by the way. Husker Nation is fantastic, as always. But I do, I mean, I've seen the videos, I've seen the way that the players react in that stadium, or in that, what would you call it, a stadium, or what would you refer to it as?
Arena,
there it is. Like, you see the way that the players just react when they're in that arena, and it's something I want to make sure I get to this year, and I want to make sure I get to experience that now that I'm back in town.
Right, and you've been doing this a long time with us, and we tried to get you no-sit Sunday seats for Wisconsin back 4 years ago. Out of luck.
I actually found tickets to that game, which was great.
So you ended up going.
I ended up going to the no sit when they rushed the court. Me and Jake Long, the old tight end from. Yeah. We ended up knowing a guy who knew a guy
so
who had
get
a cousin.
Up.
So that's the only game I've ever been to.
That's just one.
That's the one game I've been to at the arena, which was awesome.
They're going to try and recreate it end of February, pre Big Ten tournament.
Yep.
With Penn State, it's a Sunday. So you have to part with some green, is my suggestion. That's just a reality. You searched for tickets last night.
I did.
And StubHub said, here's the middle finger, we want a lot. And look, it's awesome. Nebraska basketball is phenomenal. My suggestion is...
Listening.
Tim Miles is an amazing Minnesota Viking fan.
Okay.
You play for the Minnesota Vikings.
I do.
So, a little trade here.
I'm in.
Maybe
I'm in.
Preseason. I'm being chintzy here. Maybe regular. Maybe Monday night or Sunday night seats.
Maybe just Packer game seats. Those are always the hottest commodity.
They are. Because there's the hate going on.
Oh, especially now.
Green Bay and Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
So, maybe you say, hey, coach, love you. Great job. Here are a couple of seats on your boy Searles. I need a couple of seats if you're in town for Penn State to end the year. Illinois Sunday. Nebraska got to keep winning.
Yes, absolutely.
It may not take, you going to the, well, I play for the Vikings card, to get Nebraska seats. It may not take that if Nebraska doesn't keep winning.
Yes, but I think they will.
I think they will.
They're primed. They've been playing well.
I picked against them, and I'm going to take full credit for this win streak because every time I pick against them, they win.
Okay. So that's been your little...
Danny's made lots of money because Danny, again, is our degenerate gambler for entertainment purposes only. You can speak. It's all right. Your parents already hate me. Of course.
I was going to call into the show last night and give you my takes, but I didn't want to jinx it like you did.
I said 69-67 Maryland.
Okay. Yeah.
What did Colton say?
Did he have any take on the game?
One more time?
Did Colton have any predictions?
I think he picked Nebraska. He picked Nebraska by like 8.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Dude, I just know that they've been winning. I didn't keep up with them as much as I probably should during the football season.
Let's be flat out honest. Until they start doing something, you're not going to pay attention to them. When they have these miraculous, awesome seasons, you'll get in there. But it's Nebraska basketball. In 120-plus years, you've won 20 games a handful of times. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. That's with any sport, though. I mean, besides Husker football. I mean, any sport in general, winning cures all. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone winning brings all the people. I mean, everyone's always like, oh, the bandwagon, blah, blah.
Let's hug it out.
Who cares, man? If you're winning, everyone, jump on the bandwagon. Let's ride this thing as far as we can go. And I think that's where Nebraska ball right now is going. They're going in the right direction. Tim Miles has got this program turned around and got him. I mean, there was talk of him getting canned a couple years back, I think, when I was on the show. And they've shown that they stuck it out with him. They let him bring his kids in. They let him run his program. And it's starting to pay dividends. And I think that if they continue to go in the right direction. I mean, the sky's the limit for this team, especially this year. They can be one of those teams that gets into the tournament and can make a big run.
They just got to get in, and right now Nebraska needs to change that conversation. They're working on it. They're doing their part to change that narrative of, well, your resume isn't impressive. Well, you keep winning. John Crispin, BTN, you see him on with our boy Pizzo. He is all in Nebraska's corner. Dan Dockich Jr. came down, of course, because ESPN had Michigan State on last night. Came down and said, yeah, they love Nebraska, Dad. Like, well, I told you to watch them. Get that green off your back. Mm. And so you have a couple of national guys. It's the bracketologists that aren't down. Dirk Chatlin of the World Herald did a good write-up. When you look at the true strength of schedule and you go apples to apples with some teams, Nebraska didn't schedule Division II teams this year. They've been unlucky with how teams have eventually done in reference to who Nebraska's played. There are some teams that have a much higher rank of strength of schedule, and they played some Division II teams that didn't hurt because they didn't count. So Nebraska's right there. They've had opportunity. But let's be honest, too. The BTN's awesome. It's fun to be able to watch Nebraska all the time. From a primetime exposure standpoint, how much has the nation had a chance to see Nebraska beyond BTN? You've had the Kansas game, right? And then the Creighton game on FS1.
Yep.
Those are the two high-profile channel comparison shopping, right?
Yep.
You've got that option. And then there's BTN that we all love and we catch, but it's BTN. You got to kind of look nationally for BTN at 6 o'clock, Maryland, Nebraska.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I struggle sometimes with the strength of schedule thing because being an athlete and being through there, it's not our fault that the other teams aren't winning. I mean, I understand the scheduling part of what you schedule, but you went out there, you take care of business against teams that, I mean, if they start losing after that, like, yeah, that's unfortunate for you. But, I mean, this team's won 20 games. They have a chance to win another 2-3 more, right?
They could be 23-8 if they win out. And going into New York City as the 4 seed and get Michigan again and then get a crack at Purdue against Michigan State. I think there's going to be a shift. I think there's going to be a movement. Again, if Nebraska keeps winning, where you're going to have Nebraska kind of be a favorite, similar to Northwestern last year. Well, they've never won an NCAA tournament game. I don't know that that'll be the narrative, but I think you'll have a lot of national basketball folks, the Vitals, the Dockiches, the Katzes. They'll be impressed enough by the job Nebraska's done, again, if they keep winning, to make a loud cry that they shouldn't be left out. Bruce Rasmussen's the AD at Creighton. He's the chair of the selection committee. He has seen Nebraska, and there is going to be a shift, I think, if Nebraska keeps winning. from, well, their strength of schedule is garbage, to, this team is damn good. Let me tell you about them. Oh, you just got to watch them in New York City because the selection committee will be in New York. They'll be there early for the Big Ten tournament before Selection Sunday happens on March 11th. So the opportunity is there for Nebraska. Let's get back to beating Maryland last night, 70-66. James Palmer Jr.'s just fantastic, phenomenal. Coach Miles last night as to why. Circle one thing. Why did Nebraska win?
Well, the obvious answer would be points, James, James Palmer's outburst, I think, was really a uplifting, you know, allowed us to stretch out and get us a bit of a lead. But I really think our defense and our ability to keep them off the three-point line and still rebound with them was just as important. It's just not as pretty.
That's it. Palmer took over 24-26 in the second half. Maryland shot 31% from the three-point line. Andy Markowski, Husker standout, told us yesterday that thing's going to be who wins the three-point battle, and Nebraska did well doing so. But it's the little things, and back to the credit you were giving to Coach Miles earlier, the shift from you know what the narrative's been to what it is, and man, you got transfer students that have bought in that are extremely talented. They're really good. They can take over games. They can finish, and that's that's what this Nebraska team needs to be viewed as a team that finds a way to win and finish home or road, not the team that let it slip away in December. You're not stagnant. You're forever evolving. If you're a good team, you're getting better, and Nebraska's gotten better. That needs to be the message that is received by the committee. Don't make anyone look bad moving forward and screw it up at Illinois on Sunday, though.
I think that everyone here, yes, you've said it a few times, Nebraska has to keep winning.
I keep hammering that because that's the truth.
Absolutely, but I think that what Tim and the staff
imagine
has
that pressure,
to do,
though.
What Tim and the staff has to do is not let their players start thinking, oh, well, if we have to beat XYZ team, like you have to take it one at a time. You have to take it day at a time and live. Our O-line coach, we always used to say, live in the bunker. Stay in the bunker, stay underground, listen to nothing to what anyone says, and being in a state, I mean, I've been there. I've been for the team where, hey, if you guys keep winning, you could win the national title. I mean, it's just the pressure, it does. It sits on your shoulders as an athlete in this state. And when you have the whole state behind you, it's the greatest feeling in the world, but it's also like, man, I don't want to let these guys down. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to let this state down. This isn't about like, and then it's like, I don't want to let, and then it just, you got to find a way, and I think Tim's done a really nice job with it, of finding a way to keep these players in the bunker, keep them going one play at a time, keep them going one quarter, 1 minute. I mean, just do whatever you can.
You gotta
like,
really
guys,
drill down.
We have to understand that it's not about winning these next four games or these three games. It's about winning the next game. It's about winning one game at a time. And I think if they can continue to, like you said, getting better. If they get better, they're going to keep winning. If they continue to improve, but if they stay stagnant, if they stay the same, other teams are getting better. And I think if they're hitting a crescendo when they hit to the Big Ten tournament, they can be a dangerous team. They can be
they
a
can
team that no one wants.
Thing.
Absolutely. No one's going to want to see this team. If they win out and they continue to go, no one's going to want to see this team in the Big Ten title.
Pound for pound, the five that Nebraska can throw out, the depth, the versatility. You have some national analysts agreeing and saying, yeah, they can match up and play and hang with about anybody. You mentioned the pressure. You mentioned the opportunity. There were some jitters for Nebraska against Maryland, and that's natural because of how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's on to the next one, yes, but you got to get this one. And if you don't get this one, it could be pretty tough. You're going to have to go win out in New York, and Coach Miles addressed that last night.
You know, I thought we were a little nervous early. I really do think we were nervous. I thought the moment kind of got to us a little bit, and both teams knew what was at stake. I mean, these are two teams that have to put together a run. We're in the middle of one. Maryland needs to get on one, and they've just, you know, beat a good Northwestern team handily, and this is a big opportunity for them. So I think that gravity certainly sunk in, you know, the gravity of that moment. I told the guys after the game, this is a special circumstance, exactly, but enjoy it. I mean, this is what you work for. So let's relax. Let's just stay in the moment, play great, and don't worry about, oh, it's a big game. Well, they're all big. Illinois is huge, so big deal. I mean, just go out and play the way you can. And I think the results take care of themselves.
And then you stop and realize what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it just goes, listening to him say that, it mirrors for me what we were going through in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Every game gets bigger. And as you try and stack wins up, I know I relate everything back to football because that's all I know.
Do it.
But the way it is every game gets bigger and every pregame gets bigger. The hype before the game, the talk before the game. But at the end of the day, we always just say, you know what, the ball's kicked off and it's in between the white lines. Well, at the end of the day for Nebraska, the ball's going to get thrown up, it's going to get found, and then nothing else matters after that. All the hype, everyone that talked to, it doesn't matter. And so as a player, that's the way you got to view it. You got to view it as, man, this is so fun and enjoy the moment. But when the ball's gone, it's just another day at the office. And I think that's the theme that I'm catching on as I'm hearing these sound bites, mm-hmm. as I'm watching more, as I'm reading more. That's the theme that Tim's going, man, enjoy this. Have fun, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You never know when something like this is going to come again, a 20-win season, like you said, since 92, 93. And I think that they're having so much fun out there that it's translating over that it's not hard work. When you're losing, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Everything's harder. And when you win, everything is miraculously better. I mean, leaps and bounds better. And so this team's winning, they're having fun, and they're fun to watch.
They are a ton of fun to watch, and this is something that Nebraska fans smile about after they had that final beer, got out of the rail yard last night, and home to bed safely. Our team has James Palmer Jr.'s, and yours doesn't. He'll go get you 24, 26. And then you got Roby, a serial posterizer. Jake Milhuizen, standout Husker next. Thoughts on Nebraska ball. Hail Varsity continues. Jeremiah Searles in for all 2 hours.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Midweek edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Husker and Viking, our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, co-hosting today. Welcome in, standout four-year captain with Nebraska basketball and the pride of Lincoln Southeast, Jake Milhuizen, with us at Jake Mule on Twitter. Jake, you still smiling about last night?
I'm still smiling, man. I'll be smiling for a few more days until we play Illinois.
That's about right. So you've done a number of the radio broadcasts, Jake, and obviously you know your way around the program, and you have the pulse of PBA, and you know the rail yard and the atmosphere when it's up and hot and it's you know engaged in the magnitude of a ball game. Let's go back to before tip off, where Nebraska and Maryland, the advantages, the disadvantages. Did you have a good feel going in, or did you think Nebraska may have been caught up in the buzz that's going on? Because Coach Miles mentioned that in his post game, that yeah, man, I thought our guys were nervous.
I had a good feeling going into the game, and then you kind of watch both teams play. And I haven't watched a ton of Maryland play,
right?
But I thought both teams looked nervous. I thought they both were playing tight, doing some uncharacteristic things. But I thought both teams looked a little shaky. And had we played our normal game the first 10-12 minutes, we're up probably, 8 to 14 points if we shoot the ball better and don't have some goofy turnovers. But, I thought both teams down the stretch, played well. Obviously, James Palmer played awesome. And then, I didn't realize that Bruno Fernando was that good. I mean, he was pretty much the main piece of their team last night and kind of kept them in it.
Yeah, going back to what you said as far as this team being able to kind of shake those jitters off, do you think that's been something that is just the Miles effect of having him be with these kids for a couple years now and have that they don't just fall into that trap of we can't shake this, that it's Miles? Or do you think it's the kids that kind of pull themselves out of that funk?
I think it starts with Miles for sure. I think he, this year especially, has kind of taken a step back and given these guys the keys and go, hey, you guys go make plays. And, you heard him after the post game in the Wisconsin game, we're down 11 with 10 to play. And he goes, okay, you guys just run motion drive offense and make some plays. And that's what they did. He's done a really good job of just kind of ticking away and not being so controlling like most coaches like to do is control everything. But he's done a nice job of that. But then these guys have some confidence too where, in games past or years past, if we're not shooting the ball well, we're off to a shaky start. We kind of get that, the oh crap look in our face and kind of go, oh, no, this is not going how we had planned. But this year's team, for whatever reason, they have some swag going to them. And they, if even when they're down 10 in certain games, like, okay, we can fight through this and win this ball game.
How big was Cope early? I mean, that was monstrous, but somebody needed to step up and calm the nerves. He did.
Yeah, he's kind of been that guy the last, you know, 5 to 7 games where when Nebraska really needed a bucket, he's kind of been that guy where he makes a 15-footer or a three or a, you know, gets his hand on a putback. He's kind of been that guy on hitting some shots just to kind of get some momentum back our direction. And then he kind of hands off the torch to James Palmer to finish the other team off.
Yeah, I mean, so you've been a part of a lot of winning, I mean, part of a winning team here. What does this team have to do down the stretch in order to keep winning? What do they need to focus on? What are things that they should be looking at down the stretch here as they finish up the regular season?
I think they continue to focus on the things they can control, and that's primarily effort and defense. I mean, because you know you can always do that whether the ball is going through the hoop or not. So when we came back in games and won some games by double figures, it kind of all started on the defensive end. And then when we're really playing well, we're getting defensive rebounds and pushing in transition. And if we can keep the defense going and blocking shots and helping each other out like we have been, I mean, I think we can beat pretty much anybody that we play right now, especially the rest of the schedule. It's always hard to win on the road at Illinois, but and then coming home to PBA, I think we have a huge advantage.
Jake Muehlheisen with us, standout Husker, 4-year captain, talking Nebraska basketball at Jake Mule on Twitter with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Jake, you've been around the team a ton. Is there a game or a moment that kind of flipped the script confidence-wise?
That's a good question.
Is it Michigan?
Yeah, maybe Michigan.
Or is there a lead-up to it?
I even look back at you know, when Jordy kind of went through his thing,
yeah.
I think was a big turning point. I think we were always a tight-knit group already, but I think that brought everybody tighter. Even Jordy came in and is, you know, I think tighter with his teammates. But then that shifted the lineup, and you go back to the Penn State game where Coach Miles sat Palmer for his lack of defensive intensity and lack of focus. And then you look at what he's done since that time, and him making that shot against Illinois, I think those kind of three things were if you can look back over the season, you know, that three-pointer by Palmer, you know, sitting him in Penn State and really getting him motivated, and then Jordy's deal bringing everybody together. I think those three main things have really brought this group together and changed the lineup enough to where we're bringing off the bench. We're bringing Taylor off the bench, who, you know, really provides a spark defensively. We bring Jordy off the bench, who just kind of comes in, rebounds, does his thing, and does some putbacks, and you bring Tom Allen off the bench who can make threes for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Question for you. If you're on the selection committee and you yourself would have a chance to argue why Nebraska should make the tournament or not make the tournament, saying that they win, what is your number one reason as to why Nebraska should be in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, if you're just solely looking at non-numbers, and you know, if you go down the sheet, you know, our resume is not going to look as good as, you know, Team A or B or whatever, how you want to do it, just based on our, if you want to call it, quality wins. But if you watch this team play, and I watch a lot of college basketball, I mean, they have the pieces, you know, with especially when we have that starting five out there that can play with anybody in the country, and we have some go-to players, we have some guys that can step up when needed. And we play a style of basketball that's fun to watch, and I think that helps our case. So if I'm in that room arguing for Nebraska, I'm just saying, look at how they win, look at who they have, look at how they've improved throughout the season, and that's what I'm selling, because what we've done from start to finish and how much we've improved, if you look back, I think we played Stetson our last game in non-con, and we won by 9. You'd have thought, oh, man, this is just going to be another one of those years, but whatever happened amongst that group to improve them, they've made the changes, and it's been fun to watch them grow.
Jake Muehlheisen, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. That's the thing, Jake, is Nebraska's a totally different team than they were in December, and they were so close with a couple of those monster resume building wins. Kansas, Creighton. Obviously, you got Minnesota. You don't get credit for Minnesota, and kind of that's that. Later on in the year, you get Michigan. The schedule ends how it is, and all teams that are below you, so you're penalized for it with no credit of the win, not much of a credit for a win. That being said, I saw a tweet last night that so Nebraska may end up being a Q1 win on a number of people's schedules. Can you be a Q1 win and not be in the tournament?
I have a hard time believing so. And I've been watching all this stuff, and I'm trying to take a step back and look at it from a non-biased standpoint because obviously
good luck.
I'm fairly biased. But I just don't get how. Let's say if everything stays as is in the Big Ten standings, and we finish, you know, at fourth alone, how do we not get in? I don't quite see that happening. But you listen to all the talking heads, and you know, they say that we're not going to get in. You know, we have to win out to get in and win one of the tournament. I don't see how that plays out. But you know, we have to take care of our own business, and we just have to win our own ball games. And I think Illinois is going to be tough. Just winning on the road is hard, but I don't see how they keep us out. I just don't know. I just don't know how that is even possible.
Do you think because of this, I'm going to dig my heels in, I'm a national analyst, Nebraska's resume is crap, do you think they'll pay more attention to Nebraska and change their tune because of the eye test over the resume?
Yeah, I do, and I think if somebody really wants to go back through our schedule, and I think having Bruce Rasmussen as the chair helps us.
Because he's seen Nebraska a lot.
He's seen us a lot. He's seen us, obviously, against Creighton. He watched it. He was down here for the KU game, and I believe he was here for the Minnesota game. And if you go back through our schedule, yes, we lost to St. John's bad, and they haven't done as well, but they also lost their best guard. Mm-hmm. We lost to Central Florida. They were picked third in the American. They lost their 7'6" center since that time, so they haven't had as good a year as they thought they were going to. So then we have other losses are all pretty good losses if you want to look at it. So I just you do the eye test, you go back to the schedule, and how we've performed the last, you know, 10 games. I think we get in. I see us going at least two out of the next three. So I don't know how you keep us out, even if we don't win in the Big Ten tournament.
Jake Muehleisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jake Muehl on Twitter. He's done a great job at Nebraska basketball coverage and, of course, a four-year captain at Nebraska. Give me a, well, not a prediction. You can't do that. I like asking people that. But give me two reasons why Nebraska can keep moving forward and go into the Champagne Room victorious.
I'll give you, I guess if you want to use these as reasons, I'll say James Palmer and Isaiah Roby.
Fine.
I think those
worst question
right
in radio
now,
this week.
Yeah, I think those two dudes are playing awesome. And you know, if Roby stays out of foul trouble, that dude, I mean, it's amazing what he does from a stat sheet standpoint. I mean, you go across, he's always got close to a double-double in points and rebounds. And then he's got, you know, two or three assists, and he's always got, you know, three or four blocks. So what that dude has been doing for us, and then you look at the play where last night he tips the ball and sprints full court, Dangner gets a steal and dives into the photographers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see a 6'8" dude doing that. And then, you know, James Palmer, just keep him going and get him the ball in certain positions. And if he can get people in the rack and at the free throw line, I think we're going to have a lot of success.
Jake, can't wait. We'll talk to you again soon. Keep up the great work with coverage and radio. Appreciate your time, bud.
Yep, thanks, guys. Appreciate
Take care.
It.
There he is, Jake Muehleisen with us, four-year captain for Nebraska basketball and the pride of Lincoln Southeast. It is Valentine's Day. That means the shot clock is moving, and you better make mama happy. Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman have it for you. The Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant starting at $99. Now and forever, she'll know how much you care with the gift of time and eternity. 12th and Oak, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. Rod West with your friends at Sauter Heyman in Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com. Get down to Sauter Heyman today for Valentine's Day and the Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant. Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles. Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. It's producing and engineering. Jake Mielheisen is awesome. Good from him. We'll talk some Nebraska football now. We'll still take your thoughts on Nebraska basketball. As a Husker Hoops fan, do you think the national narrative changes because they'll be forced to watch Nebraska and see how damn good this team is? You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity or at Schmidt underscore radio at Searles 71 underscore HSKR on Twitter's where you can find and follow Jeremiah. Searles, you're back. I know. Where do you want to go here? You're the guest. You tell me what you want to do. Do you want to tell us about how
we can
insanely
jump.
Awesome Radio Row and the Super Bowl week was of parties and people and just being able to be in the thick of that? Or do you want to save some Nebraska Scott Frost staff your stamp of approval for hour two? You tell me what you're feeling.
Let's jump in.
And there's a tour. We can wave at the kids.
The animals inside the zoo.
You feel like one?
Hello.
We're in the padded room with the glass.
Yeah. Please do not feed the animals type of thing.
There he is. He's wearing a Packer shirt.
Oh, what? I'll be right back. Hold on. No, I said let's jump into some Husker stuff, man. I'm excited to be back in Lincoln, excited to be back in Huskerville. And it's just the buzz around this city right now is something I've never seen before.
Unreplicated.
So, I mean, when I got here in 2009, it was Pelini's second year. There was some buzz going on there, but it's unlike anything I've seen.
You have to kind of go back to 2009 for like... Wow.
The excitement.
Excitement. This is at like seven times that level.
100%. I mean, even when Riley got hired, everyone was kind of like, okay, like that's exciting, but like grandpa's going to be grandpa. But the thought of coming and having a homegrown quarterback who went and found his path through college football down in UCF, what he did with an 0-12 program to a 13-0.
Can you imagine that?
It's incredible. Like, people don't, I mean, everyone's like, oh, yeah, he did. I mean, I've been on teams where you struggle to win 9 games every year, and to have a team that's morale and the way that they do things to be 0-12 and then just light switch and be 13-0 is incredible to what he did, what he's done. And so I am so excited as an alum, as a former Husker, to have a guy like that who knows the program, knows what, I mean, he was on these championship teams. He knows what it takes to get to that level, and he's proven he knows how to get his players there to the same level. I was trying to go up yesterday and get a chance to meet with him, but he's taken some well-deserved R&R after what he was able to pull together.
Offensive guys, they get the little breather first, mm-hmm. then the defense.
Yeah, I mean, what they were able to do to pull together a ranked recruiting class in a matter of months was incredible. And, oh, by the way, still coached their team to a bowl game victory.
Beat Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, it was the dude's probably running on nothing but caffeine and Red Bulls at this point, and maybe a couple Big Red Fairberry hot dogs. I mean, there's only so much he can do. And so I'm excited to get a chance to meet him. But just being back in the stadium for the first time yesterday, they are so accommodating to guys like myself and former NFL guys coming back. I mean, the first thing I did was I sat down with Kenny. I sat down with Calhoun, I think is his last name, and Callahan. And he was just like, hey, this is your home. This is where you grew up. This is where you became who you are. Like, whatever you guys need, just let us know. And not that Riley's staff didn't do that, but just how open they are about wanting us to come back and not just be around the kids, but be around the coaches. They want us to establish like a connection with these coaches, which I think is super cool because it's always good. I mean, I didn't really get a chance to establish a connection with this last staff basically because you don't want to be the old guy walking around. I mean, I can remember when I was a young guy, like you'd see Slosson.
Like a 40-year-old going to the rail.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy that was the back in my day.
And he's like, yeah, stay the hell out of my bar, Schmidt.
I can see Danny being a rail guy. Just the back bar, just hammering it away. I can see it.
I see Schmitty back there all the time.
It's his second home.
He's fist pumping
my
back there.
My God.
Just oomph, oomph, oomph. I can see it, Danny. I can see it.
Getting
there. But back to the Husker football, which is life in this state right now. It's so cool that I think Scott's going to be able to, we were talking about this a little bit off air. He was the one hire that he can literally put his hands out over Husker Nation and say, relax, it might not be next year, it might not be the year after, but we're going to get there. And if any other coach would have said that, they all would have said, boo, win now. But I have a feeling that Husker Nation has a good idea of what he wants to do, just off of his pressers, what he does through the media. I think he has a good idea of where he wants to put them, and I think Huskerville is going to give him a little bit of time to get there.
I think the thing that he has that hasn't been there, or it's I don't want to say expired, but your political capital and currency, it can go quickly as a head coach.
Yes.
With losses or attitude or past history. In Riley's case, there was half the fan base. Well, the guy was barely 500 at Oregon State. Is trust.
Yep.
I think the fan base not only wants it to happen, but they believe it'll happen. The trust will be there because he's done it before. He's done it at Central Florida, but he also had to learn and live the hard way as a guy who came back to Nebraska as a transfer that said no to Coach Osborne, went to Stanford, came back, and then, oh, let's go follow Tommy Frazier at quarterback. And I think he's saying the right things, but he believes what he's saying with the walk-ons, with the in-state, with screw the recruiting stars, right? We're going to go get kids that want to be here. And all of that's important, but he means it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what he is doing, and I see it, you got to think these kids that are coming in now they were hardly alive back in the 90s when Nebraska was
winning. You were born in what, 92?
91. I was born in 91. So, I mean, I was a young kid that really didn't pay much attention, but you knew of Nebraska.
You got that window between 10 and 14 where you fall in love with a sports team.
Yes, absolutely.
And you like who wins.
And exactly. You like who's on TV all the time. You like who you see so you can go to school and be like, oh, they're... And these kids
were... Do you really want to go play for Nick Saban? Well, he's winning.
Well, he's winning, 100%. And so I think he's going to get these kids here. And I think part of the reason he wants us as former players to come back and chat is to reinstall that tradition of what Nebraska is. It is a winning, tough-nosed program that doesn't put up with anyone's crap. We're not going to be the whipping boy of the Big Ten anymore. We're going to go and we're going to be the bullies of the Big Ten. And I think that's the mindset that these kids need to buy into of, hey, back in my day, and I know kids probably hate hearing that, but the dude can pull up film and be like, that's me in that stadium right there. You go do better than me. Mm-hmm. Being Eric, guys like Crouch that are going to come back, guys like Frost that'll come back. And I think he's going to bring these guys back and just have them tell stories about what this
Here's
place was. This is what this place is. And if you don't like it, there's the door. And I think that's what's going to build this team to be who they are and the identity that they will become. We'll see a little bit of it in the spring and then a lot of it in the fall.
We'll kind of get into your thoughts with strength and conditioning. That was a topic last week when it comes to training. Motivation, self-policing from a peer standpoint versus your S&C coach on your backside all the time to get there and do workouts. You were a guy that played early, and you played early because you put the work in and you're good. Minnesota Viking, our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles. He was also part of the Super Bowl festivities, Radio Row, so we'll hear the story of Radio Row Week from Jeremiah Searles. A jock doc on the way. Some thoughts from Matt Davison and Mark Boehm as they were at the Chamber of Commerce. Some comments to get into there. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Winding down hour one, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, co-hosting. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, is we'll get Danny's picks here before we say goodbye. There's some sort of gambling to be done on a Wednesday night.
Good thing there's not casinos in Nebraska, huh, Danny?
Yeah, that's why sometimes you got to make that trip out to Council Bluffs, you know.
Hey, next time you go, let me know. I got a little bit of the itch to go out there roll some dice.
You guys get to go for fun. I get to go to Council Tucky to watch youth sports. So
okay.
I can't sneak away.
Hey, I'll take it while I can. I'm sure my youth sports days are coming soon.
Enjoy that. I'm proud of my son, though. I do love him dearly. Tell me why I need to get into to Game of Thrones. I always pick your brain when you're back about what you're checking out on Netflix or Amazon.
You got to get into Game of Thrones for the sheer reason it's the greatest TV show ever made.
Disagree. Breaking Bad.
No, it's bad. I've seen both.
How can anything trump Breaking Bad?
I'm telling you, the plot twist, if it hasn't been ruined for you already, the plot twist and the way that this show just goes
about... It's not been ruined because I can figure out a way to get HBO and start, or there's, you know, season one starting on Amazon. I can go, I can check that out. I can work that in, but... And I, you know, Shafe loves it. You love it. I get it. But man, I haven't gotten into it because I'm not like into medieval. The most medieval I get is like the cover of Zeppelin IV.
Dude, the way I can describe it is this show will literally pull your heart out, stomp on it 1,000 times, and you'll be begging it to come do it again.
Okay.
Like,
it's
you know
how Breaking Bad went for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Like, you'll be watching it and you'll be like, I hate this show. I can't believe they did this, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, when's the next episode?
There's
it's
a moment
like a
you
drug.
Hate Hector and then you're like, you feel bad for Hector. And then now you see
dude, it was Pinkman.
All of Hector.
Pinkman was always the guy that I was just like, that dude cannot catch a break. Jesse Pinkman, I mean, the poor guy just couldn't get out of his own way.
No, that's the best way to put it.
He literally could not get out of his own way. He couldn't find his way out of a wet paper bag.
No.
But for Game of Thrones, man, you got to get on. I know it's a little medieval, but it's...
It's a lot medieval.
They don't talk like the Shire, like, doth bring me. Like, there's none of that in it. Like, there's a little bit of, like, the Fortnite or whatever that means. But for the most part, you got to get into it for the sheer fact that I want to talk to you about it. And I want you to text me. Like, I went in, so, quick story. My doctor that I was working with has just been starting the show.
Okay.
And he's like, dude, I'm not sleeping. He goes, I'm not sleeping.
You're
I'm just watching it all night.
Addicted.
I got a text from him at 2 a.m. that was just like, dude, I'm so happy XYZ finally died. And I was like, go to bed. I was like, what are you doing? You are a 40-year-old middle-aged man at 2 a.m. on a Thursday. Go to sleep. But that's what that show will do to you. And I'm going to be getting texts from you at 2 a.m. like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe so-and-so just died, or I can't believe he died, or yes, they won the battle.
Is it one you can get, because the wife and I don't do a lot together, and that's how we've survived a lot.
Makes sense.
So we did Breaking Bad together.
Okay.
She finally, like, why are you...
It's a little raunchy. I don't know how the wife feels about boobies and... stuff out, but it's a little raunchy.
Okay.
It can get a little raunchy. And I see your interest peaked a touch there.
Yes,
but
it is.
I mean, it's a little.
Say,
I don't know if the wife. I don't know if the wife's going to be all about it. The scenery is fantastic. Daenerys Stormborn's a very nice looking lady.
Okay, you know, she's a nurse.
Yeah,
mother baby.
She's in.
Yeah,
I bet she's in. I'll have Emma convince her, because Emma's actually the one that turned me on to it.
Okay.
She was in all in first, and I was kind of like you, like, meh, but then I jumped in with both feet. And
because right now,
never been happier.
I need to change the partnership of the Hulu remote.
Gotcha.
I just, hey, let's watch this together instead of what you're on. Hour two, more Husker football on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour two, great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Now, we're going to get into strength and conditioning and entitlement and recruiting in a minute. You were telling me during the break about your teammate, Riley Reif, one-time commit to Nebraska during the Callahan regime, left tackle, went to Iowa, tremendous player. You were telling me homeboy lives in a double wide?
Down by the river.
Down by...
in South Dakota. Swear to God. So first,
Matt Foley.
He's all about it. So the first time we were chatting with him...
How much is in his... Not that I'm counting people's money.
He signed a $60 million contract.
Okay. So lay this
out
for me. Last
year, not to mention first round draft pick in 2012, I want to say. 12. I want to say 12 because they're... Yeah, the year before, maybe even... 11.
He came out early, I think.
It was our first year in the Big Ten. Whatever our first year in the Big Ten was.
12.
So 12. So he first round draft pick to Detroit.
It was 11.
11. Whatever. 6-1 way, half dozen the other. Anyways, so this dude shows up, great guy, pulls up in his lifted 250, awesome truck, gets out in his Carhartt coat and walks into the office. And I'm like, I'm going to be friends with this guy. Just chatting. And so he's from South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, is that where you go like in the off season? Is that where you go and hang out? And he's like, oh, yeah, I got a place out there. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, he's probably got a nice piece of land, nice house, kind of just hangs out, does his own thing. I was like, oh, let me see a picture of your house. And he's like, okay, yeah. Pulls up his phone. This dude legitimately has two double wide trailers on his property. One is his house and the other is his weight room. And I'm talking like a very nice weight room, Prowler, the whole bit. And he's like, yeah, that way I never have to leave. I was like, never have to leave? Like, what about like human interaction? He's like, that's overrated. Fair.
What?
He doesn't enjoy
people.
And I can respect the heck out of that.
We know somebody, or you are somebody like that, and I get it. But in today's day and age, you want to talk throwback, old man, grown up. He's comfortable. Did he grow up in a trailer? And no. Listen, if you live in a trailer, whatever, man. Someday I may be there with you.
Oh, same. But I don't know. He's
like a doomsday guy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's a doomsday guy or is just like, I don't know what to spend my money on, so I'm going to buy a bunch of guns. I mean, he's he kind of is one of those guys. I mean, he's got all the toys. So he's got the Ski-Doos. He's got the four-wheelers. He's got he plays by himself.
I mean, his ATV is more than his trailer.
100%. And he's just all about, like, I can remember we were at lunch one day this off season, and he was on his phone.
He didn't bring his lunch?
No. Some days. But he's on his phone, and he's, like, sweating. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, oh, my marketing guy or my financial guy is at this auction for this land in South Dakota. And I remember we're sitting at lunch, and he just stands up and just, yes! And we're like, what? He's like, I got it. And we're like, what'd you get? He's like, I got like 400 acres up in South Dakota. Like, that's awesome. And we're like, oh, you're going to put like a little hunting lodge on there? He's like, no, I'll probably just drive out there and camp and hunt. Fantastic. Couldn't be happier. He's all about it. And I was like, well, I'm definitely
hunting too.
I was like, well, I'm going to have to come up and like hang out there. He's like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Where's he by in South Dakota? Where's he? Is he Sioux Falls? Is he?
I think he's Sioux Falls area. He's only about 3 hours away.
I used to be up there like a long time ago.
He's only like a few hours out of the cities because, I mean, any chance we had a time off, he was gone. I mean, gotcha. He was out of there. He was back home. And we're talking about maybe when I come up, I'm going to go up and see him this offseason.
Sure.
I have to see it. It's one of those things that like you see it in pictures, but you don't really believe it. And so
I'm thinking like Kill Bill trailer here.
Dude, I've been in double wides before, and like they can be nice.
Sure.
Absolutely. They can be super. So I'm expecting
that was the old grandma and grandpa in Holdridge.
Yep.
Or Cambridge, Nebraska. That was the cabin.
Yep.
So we've all spent time
there. Yes, 100%. And so I actually didn't know that those things were called cabins until I actually went to Cole Penzick's cabin at the lake, and it was a double wide. And I was like, gotcha. Because where I'm from, Colorado, a cabin is up in the woods, log cabin, no power. Like, so when I first got there, I was like, okay.
Where Heisenberg lived.
Different. Yes, 100%. That's a cabin. That's a trailer. Difference. But I've argued with people that in Nebraska, and they tell me I'm wrong, so I will just convert. There's few things in Nebraska I will convert to. That is one of them. The one thing I will not is chili and cinnamon rolls. You all are crazy for that.
Have you tried it?
Yes. It's no. I'm out. I am out on chili and cinnamon rolls.
You've not had the right chili.
It does. Chili and cinnamon rolls are separate meals. One is for the morning. One is for cold winter afternoons. You don't mix those two.
Is that a thing? I've never even heard of that.
Yes. Where have you been?
Thank you.
That's right. The casino.
Thank you. You're from Chicago. That's right. I'm from Colorado. When I first got here,
you want to talk like hot dog snob?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Not a fan of the Fairbury hot dogs.
Get out.
He's it.
Get out.
Not one
get out.
And the 1.8 million.
I got a hot dog maker. I got a hot dog maker for a White Elephant gift. And the first thing I did when I got back home was go buy Fairbury hot dogs and cook them in it. And I've done it almost every night since. And it's not great for me, but I love them. They're my guilty pleasure.
All right. I respect that. I'm just, I don't know. Once you have the best, it's kind of hard to compete with that.
Chicago hot dog guy here.
I'm going to shove red hot dogs. Just every time I come in here, I'm just going to bring them for you.
Hazing.
Hazing. Yeah. But you'll have no choice but to eat them.
Not anymore, of course.
But let's move on from Riley Reiff.
No, that's fine. But just, man.
It's incredible.
To each their own.
To each their own. You meet so many different people in the league. It is incredible the people you meet. And it's so much fun to make these connections and make these lifelong stories that you'll get to have about, yeah, I met a guy who made a lot of money and was completely happy being in the double wide.
We'll get to the phones in a minute. Brett emails in, chris@halevarsity.com. Who is this guy? Cinnamon roll and chili is the best.
Come on. I can't get on
board
with it.
Are you trying to just, like, stir
here? No, I 100%. Me and my wife both not from here, but talking to people that are from here, like, oh, yeah, that was like a school lunch. That,
yes, it was.
That's not a thing. That's like, oh, shoot, we got leftover breakfast, and I made all this chili. All right, let's just see what happens and dump it on there. People ate it. I don't understand why it's a thing.
It's something that Nebraska's embraced, like the Runza.
I'm in like, on Runza.
Bone-in steak.
That's everywhere. I have never been somewhere else, and I've been to a lot of places. And I bring this up because people that are like, hey, chili and cinnamon rolls, meal? They look at me like I have two faces.
Try it. And become the spokesperson.
I've tried it.
You love it.
I've tried.
Brian's on line one. Brian, welcome into Hail Varsity. Thanks for giving us a shout.
Searles, I am losing faith in you, man. What is wrong with you? And the other guy that doesn't like Fairberry brand.
Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago.
How can you guys even call yourselves Huskers?
Dude.
They're not from here.
So you're from here.
They've not been converted
yet. You are from here, aren't you?
I am born, bred, bleed, scarlet, and cream.
Okay, that makes complete sense. Coming from someone outside the state, you guys are bananas with that. It makes no sense. How did it become? How did you grow up?
How did
you grow up without it?
Because I come from a normal place. Colorado's not much normal anymore.
No, you guys got gummy bears,
yeah,
for God's sake.
We're weird. But how was this introduced to you? How was this introduced to you? I have to know. Like,
school.
Was it school? Was it home?
Holidays.
What was it?
All of it, right, Brian?
Culture, man. It's boring. You go to other places like I've been to Georgia. They look at me like I'm just out of my mind when I say like corn and longest sellout streak, and they just don't get it. I'm like, Runzas, man, Runzas. They're like, what are those? I made them Runzas, my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
sued.
This is good, but it's not good. I'm like, dude, you need to come to Lincoln, Nebraska, or anywhere in Nebraska, and have a Runza.
I'm in on Runzas. Like I said, I'm all about Runzas, but you will never convince me that a breakfast food and a cold afternoon food go together. It's not a thing.
We'll make it happen. Brian, thanks for the phone call, brother. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll make it happen. And listen, I'm going to have Uncle Andy,
right,
brother-in-law, do his chili because he rocks at chili. Cranack's good at chili. Who else? Most people but my wife are phenomenal with chili.
One thing.
And so, we'll do cinnamon rolls, and we'll get some great cinnamon rolls for you.
With chili, I'm a big sour cream, cheese in the chili with some chives, maybe like. Do you do that with the cinnamon roll, or do you just kind of let the flavors mix?
I don't. Here's how I do it. I'll either do a few crackers.
Okay.
And I'll have some onion. Once, it depends on the mood I'm in for cheese.
Okay.
But I will not find my way to go salad bar on my cinnamon roll. I will find the chili part of the chili.
Okay.
With the cinnamon roll. It's really the sweet, the heat. That's the combo.
Separately.
It's like sweet and sour, right?
But it's not. I don't know.
You've not tried it.
I have not tried it the best way, I guess. I've tried it, and I ate it all because I'm fat, but I didn't necessarily enjoy it.
Okay, so we have talked about Riley Reiff. We've talked about chili and cinnamon rolls. This will segue into kind of decommitting. Not decommitting, but the breakdown of the entitlement.
Okay.
Okay. I want to go there because Riley was a guy that's kind of just doing his own thing, no matter how much money he's got, and he's a pretty high-profile guy. You look at recruiting, and you're the first to, like, pump the brakes on it, and I get that. I look at Scott Frost and how he recruits and what he wants to do and the type of fit and player he wants to bring in. He's not at all interested in drama. There's been drama around for quite a while.
Yes. There's.
How do you rise above it? Because you're a guy that was recruited very heavily, but you came in and did your work. You had some teammates that aren't that way, and you have teammates that come into the NFL that aren't that way.
I've got on my soapbox on this before, and it's something that I truly believe to my core as who I am as a character and who I am as a person, as a ball player, as a Husker fanatic, as everything. The entitlement issue with these recruits coming into college now is solely social media and the fact that you have to do it. There's other people doing it. Is this, you got to blow smoke up these kids' butts to get them here. Because if you want to take the high road and you want to be like, we're not going to do that, well, guess what? There's 1,000 other teams that are going to do it, and the kids at 16, 17 years old don't know any better. And to see some of these commitment videos blow my mind. I think that they're flat-out disrespectful in some. I think that they're flat-out arrogant in some, and I think that other people do it the right way. For me to watch, everyone fell in love with, remind me of his name, the kid that brought the hat out from underneath the table.
Caleb Tanner.
I'm sure he's a fantastic kid. I'm not going after the kid at all in this little spiel that I have. But when I watched that, I saw complete disrespect for other teams. And I know that when you commit to a team, you become a Husker, and that's great. That's fantastic. We're super pumped to have you. But those other teams were offering you 4 years of a paid tuition to come to their school and to throw their hat or to rip a shirt off. And when I see something like that, I just see it as disrespect. And like I said, I'm not saying Caleb is a disrespectful kid. I just think that the way that they're being handled is poor. The way that parents are letting things happen, the way that Bleacher Report's helping guys make videos. I mean, the kicker for Penn State made a video. Like, I don't know. I old man, get off my lawn. I called Oregon. I narrowed it down. I said, I'm between Oregon and I'm between
Blue
Nebraska.
Smoke. That's what I'm interested in. Who is the biggest group of liars yet?
I don't know if they're a group of liars.
You're going to be an offensive tackle, Outland winner in three games. Searles, come play for us.
The thing for me, and I saw right through it, was at Arizona State, Coach Erickson.
Oh.
And he literally said, he was like, oh, I'd start you tomorrow if you could be here. You're going to start right away. You're going to come in. You're going to play 3 years.
Said, Coach, are you going to be here?
You're going to pull me 3 years. You're going to be here for 3 years. You're going to go in the league. We develop offensive linemen like it's no one's business. And, like, you're sitting there. And I can remember hearing this going, this is awesome. Like, absolutely. I can't wait to come
and
here. Blah, 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 blah. And then I go and I sit down in Coach Bo's office. And he's like, if you can play, you can play. If not, you're not going to play, but we want you here. We think that you have time to develop. We think that, and just the two different styles for me, even up in Oregon, Mike Bellotti was still the coach when I was up there, and he had a PowerPoint, basically like a handheld PowerPoint presentation for when you were conversing. He'd be like, and see here, we're going to develop you over XYZ. Next slide. And then I just sat there like, it felt very fake. It felt very, and like almost like he had 1 foot out the door. I can remember I left and I was like, Dad, I don't think he's going to be the coach here for much longer.
It's Chip Kelly.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden the next year, Bellotti's gone. And I was like, okay, I guess I was kind of onto something there. But I just think that the social media is obviously the key factor in that because, I mean, if you're a recruit and if you hear this and you're a recruit, do not tweet and say, get me X number of followers and I'll come on to a visit to your school. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Kid you don't want.
It's a kid you don't want. That's a kid that is a me first kid that's like, I want to see how I can grow. And I'm all about growing your brand. I'm all about being who you can be. But don't use who you are as a high school kid before you've done anything to set yourself up to fail. I mean, you haven't done anything. You're 17 years old. You're 18. You were the best kid in your high school. But guess what? Everyone that's coming into the school you committed was the best kid in their high school. And you got to show up and you got to put in the work and you got to. I think that there's so much expectations on kids nowadays coming in because of social media, because of what our fans have seen and guys have seen that if you don't perform, if you don't do everything you said you're going to do, you can get this negative stigmatism from the fans, from yourself. You can set yourself up for failure. And so for me,
it's
a lot of pressure for these kids. I mean, because people, I mean, they're 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids coming in. And it's a lot of pressure, but if they do it the right way, they can have the best time of their life. Just show up, work, and I think Frost has done a great job. I can remember one of the first things I heard out of this guy's mouth was, we're going to bring kids in, we're going to develop them for 2-3 years, and then put them on the field, which is fantastic.
There's also a mix, too, of guys who've played early for him mm-hmm. as well that put the work in or came in a little bit higher level. We'll get to Radio Row. You experienced the Super Bowl week.
Chaos.
Searles was part of it up in Minneapolis. Our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, co-hosting today, Chris Schmidt. Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. We'll have some more time on Searles' thoughts, his experience on Radio Row and some of the parties during Super Bowl week. That, and then we'll get into development as well. And some strength and conditioning stuff that is new and different for Nebraska right now.
And we're back.
Fellas, I think we could
Listen to the radio.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, and you, Danny Burke, pride of Chicago.
Hot dog guy.
Danny the hot dog. I'm going to call Danny Casino. It's all right. Danny Burke, pride of Chicago. He's awesome. Good stuff. Okay, we just spent some time on kind of breaking down the high-profile recruit and just how it's affecting college programs, high profile, high drama, high entitlement, and it is. And you gotta check it at the door, and it's up to guys in that locker room to do that.
Yes.
I want to get to your Super Bowl week here, and then I also want to get – you'll be back here before you have to head
Absolutely.
Back to Minicamp.
I'm hoping to be back as much as you'll have me on.
No, it's open for you, bro.
Fantastic.
So tell me about what you did Super Bowl week, how you kind of fell into it. You were with Sports Illustrated. You were quoted 100 times, different outlets. You did a lot of radio, which is awesome for you, and you deserve it. Tell me how things came together and what happened, and tell me the story of Searles Takes Minneapolis Super Bowl 52.
Well, so I got out of Nebraska. I got out of Minnesota the Tuesday after the NFC Championship game. I was like, we just got to go. We got to get out. I know we'll be back, but I got to get out. So we drove home, unpacked, kind of hung out in the house for a couple days. It was just a big unwind. And then on Friday, I got a call from Paul Allen, who's the voice of the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, man, we're kicking off Radio Row on Monday at Mall of America. Would love to have you on for the second hour. I was like, oh, man, I didn't know. I wasn't planning on going back till Wednesday. But I was like, you know what? Like, I want to do the experience. I want to get my name out there. I want to experience the full Monty that is Super Bowl week. So I talked to the wife, and she was like, just go. Just go. Just go and enjoy it. So I drove back up there, and first thing Monday morning, I was in Radio Row. And I highly, highly underestimated the chaos that is Radio
Row. It's nuts. When you had a fight between Houston stations almost break out.
I mean, it's insane. And so I walk in, you got to get your credential, and you feel all cool walking around. And then you walk in there, and I did.
As Searle stares at me, you get your credential, boy.
Dude, it was crazy. The spectacle itself was just insane. And walking around the mall, it was also bittersweet.
That was weird because it was at the Mall of America.
Dude, it was at the food court. Like, there was people just standing all around you at all times. Like,
give me some crab rangoon, Searles.
Yeah, feeling about being into the zoo. Like, that was the ultimate feel at the zoo moment. But I ended up doing an hour with him, and then Paul introduced me to another guy who introduced me to another guy. And before I know it, I was there for 4 hours just doing different radio shows at ESPN Central Texas, ESPN New England. I mean, and then I ran into my old San Diego outlets that recognized me, and they were like, hey, jump on with us. And it was just so much fun to
How
like.
How many Frost questions you get?
All the time. Every single radio show. That's when I really was like, we're going to be back nationally. People are going to be paying attention to us nationally when I'm doing a radio show for New England, and we talk about the Super Bowl, what Brady's got to do, what their defense is going to do, and then he ends the thing with, man, Scott Frost back to Nebraska, what do you guys think? And that was every single outlet. Every single like interview I did, somehow, one way or another, Scott Frost got brought up into it. And I think that just shows like what he brings to the table as far as that his national attention is brought to us. And that was so cool to hear other people talk about Nebraska and put us back to where I feel like we need to be. Even I did a thing with PJ Fleck was there, and I was talking to him. I was like, yeah, I almost went to that game this year, and you guys handled this pretty well. He's like, yeah, you guys got Frost down there. We'll see how that goes. So kind of fun, lighthearted thing there. But so then Tuesday, right back at Radio Row, because I ran into some people, and then Sports Illustrated wanted to do a thing with Eric Hendricks and I where we rode a roller coaster and played Pictionary. Really hard
Who
to do.
Who came up with that? How many shots was in the body for someone to say, hey, this would be a great idea, and it'd be your picture won?
I got a text that was like from our marketing guy that was like, hey, you want to go do a roller coaster thing with Sports Illustrated? I was why not? Like, sure.
I'm saying the idea of Pictionary on a roller coaster.
It was his complete idea. We showed up.
He
was just like, here's what we're thinking about doing. Well, he wanted to do, like, he's like, do you think we could do charades? I was like, no.
Roller coaster?
I was like,
you're both screaming.
Like, what are you thinking? He's like, we could do, like, mouthing of words. I was like, that's also not going to work. And then he's like, well, we're thinking about doing Pictionary. I was like, much better. So we did that, and that was really fun to do. And then I actually did some more events down at the NFL Experience, down at the Convention Center, Play 60 with the Kids, a Wounded Warrior event. And it was just really cool to see that experience as well. I mean, it was the full convention center, 3 or 4 floors of just pure Super Bowl, as much football as you could get. And I mean, another cool experience, they're like, with the NFL, they're like, oh, we'll send a driver, we'll pick you up. I mean, you just felt like,
important.
Who am I? Like, who am I to be getting a driver come and sent to me? Like, you just don't feel, I don't know, it was just a different feel there. But I was able to get my name out, meet with a bunch of people. Wednesday night, I went to a networking event that turned into full-blown party, and I got to meet with people like Nate Burleson from the NFL Network, Stacey Dales, Trey Wingo, just all these people that like I never thought that I'd be in the same room with.
You watch on Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's the guys you never think you'll be in the same room with that you watch that know who you are, that when you introduce yourself, that I know who you are. I mean, you kind of take a step back like, I am. I'm in this world. I'm in this world that is the NFL. And I mean, you get to meet guys like I got to meet Cameron Jordan off the field. I got to meet Von Miller. I got to meet Terrell Owens, walked around with his sunglasses on for 12 hours straight.
You made sure you called him Terrell.
Yeah. I call him T.O. I mean,
okay.
Dapped him up. No, I'm just kidding. I was scared. And the wife got to meet LaDainian Tomlinson, which was huge for her being a Charger fan growing up. And
sure.
So we just got to network and meet with these people. And then Thursday night, we kind of hung out. I took us to a party that was a weird party. I met someone on Wednesday night when I was a bit inebriated, and he was like, dude, come, we're having a big party tomorrow night. And I was like, sure, we'll be there. Showed up, and it was not what I thought it was. It turned out to be at like a bowling alley, like bar mix thing, and I invited some of my friends because I thought it was like a big Super Bowl party.
That was a Super Bowl party.
Yep.
No, it's a bowling alley party.
It was not, and we dressed. Emma was in a nice dress. I was in the thing, and we walked in.
So you were overdressed
like,
at a bowling alley.
It was like a fan meetup. It was like a fan meetup party. It wasn't like an actual party. It was like a fan meetup party. So we didn't stay there long. Stayed for a little bit and then headed out. And I got
How did you gracefully exit? Did you?
Just walked out.
We literally
just walked out because I invited some of my buddies and I was like, I should probably get there first to make sure. And I texted them all and I was like, don't come. I was like, I messed up, man. This is not what you guys think it is. I am so sorry. Like, this is not what I thought it was. So we ended up just getting drinks that night and just heading home. We went to a local bar. And then Friday, did some more radio stuff during the day. And then that night, we actually had the NFL Network party. I went to the NFL Network party to start and hung out with some of those guys, made some connections, met there. And then we went to the Barstool Sports party, which
was nuts?
Bananas. I mean, that place was crazy. But the problem was, I don't think they really understood how many people were going to be showing up all at once to get in. Mind you, downtown Minneapolis, about 10 o'clock at night, it's -3 degrees outside. And no one wants to bring a coat to the party, obviously. So we stood outside for like 15 minutes just trying to get in the door. And people were there without coats. Everyone just kind of huddled together for warmth. Like, let's make sure we all don't die.
It's like the movie Alive.
I mean, to put in perspective how crazy it was to try and get in, for all of you guys to listen to Barstool, I had Big Cat, The Prez, Pat McAfee. They were all trying to walk in, like, in next to us. And the security guy was like, please stop. And the dude's like, it's my effing party. What are you talking? Like, it's my party. He's like, sir, we're at capacity. Like, we need to get in. Like, it was bananas to try and get in there. And so we finally got in, and we got to go up and Kyle Rudolph had a table, and I got to meet some guys. Alex Mack, the center from mess with him, had a shot with Luke Kuechly. That was really fun. And like, just got to hang out with guys and then watch Cascade. I don't know how many people know who an EDM artist Cascade. Saw him for a couple hours and ended up partying until about 4, which was nuts. And then the next day, woke up, didn't feel fantastic, but we ended up doing Dave Matthews on Saturday night. So we got to go see Dave, and we had general admission, so we were down on the floor. Brent Qualley and his wife, Melissa, drove up to come. And so we went to Dave Matthews, went out to a really nice dinner, went to Dave, partied with Dave for like 2.5 hours.
Partied with Dave Matthews?
No, not with him, but as he was singing it, I was partying.
Okay.
So I was
You should have just kept it. Yeah,
I should have partied. No, I partied while Dave sang. And then we decided to leave early because we were going to head to the Maxim Super Bowl party, where we went there, and that was another one that was just, it was the biggest party of the weekend, and you couldn't meet everyone in there if you had to. Just the amount of people, and we got to see the Migos and Cardi B and Marshmello and Post Malone and more guys that we all enjoy as acts, and partied with them. I actually got to go backstage with Marshmello and Post Malone and meet those guys afterwards, which was really cool, and get to hang out with them and just kind of make those connections. Again, just a different type of connection. And then on Sunday, we actually went to the game. And
was that tough?
It was tough sitting in your own stadium watching two different teams on your field. It was interesting. I got to go with Joe Berger, our right guard, who's year 13. Him and his wife went. They sat right in front of us, which was nice. So we got to sit there and rant, I guess.
How would you willingly put yourself through that?
it's a bucket list thing. I mean, it's something.
Sure,
it's something
but it's also
say,
a bucket list thing to get
to
there,
play there,
not
yes.
just be a
100%.
Not just a 10.
I will never go to another Super Bowl okay. unless I'm in it. I mean, but to go and see the production that is the Super Bowl. I mean,
well, the lead up sounded pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it sounded
everything.
Like spring break times 7,000.
100%. I was a walking corpse for the week afterwards. But I mean, to watch the way that these dudes wheel these stages on, wheel them off, wheel the next one on, there's 1,000 people on the field, and all of a sudden they're all off the field, and all, oh, yeah, by the way, a football game's going on. And then the extended halftime show, and seeing Justin Timberlake was, you couldn't really see him. I mean, at a venue that big.
How'd it sound?
It's
everyone's kind of,
sound.
I talked to McKay and our music folks here, and it's like, you know, it's good. It's Justin, but it wasn't like, it was pretty vanilla.
Well, the whole, the stadium itself is not built for sound like that.
Okay.
I really don't think it is. It's made for echoing and resonating.
It's
so
made
that
for 3rd and 9 to be a son of a bee.
Absolutely. And so there's a lot of echo that went on back and forth, gotcha. But like, it wasn't terrible. I mean, it wasn't bad, except for that poor kid that had probably no idea who Justin Timberlake was sitting there trying to sing along, but just had no clue. Uh-huh. And but that was really cool to see the
what
spectacle.
What are the odds? You get picked.
And then, yeah.
Who are you?
Who are you? I love the meme that's like him Googling, like, who is Justin Timberlake? And like, it's like as he's on his phone. But, I mean, it was a great game. I mean, no defense, but it was a fantastic game to watch and be a part of. And we sat next to two Patriots fans. Thank God I didn't have to sit next to Philly
yeah,
fans.
Yeah, Eagle fan, Danny, we've spent a lot of time on Eagle
They're
fans.
They're horrible.
But you saw your Viking fans just get blasted.
My parents and my wife both got spit on, beers poured on them. My dad got he got jumped on. He's 3 months out of back surgery. He got jumped on. Not jumped, but like a Philly fan jumped on his back like after a big third down, like in celebration, but like jumped on him. It wasn't malicious, but it's just like,
okay, just out of excitement.
Yeah, just out of excitement.
He didn't realize that he's wearing purple
well,
and white.
He was wearing purple and white. It wasn't nothing mean. He had his back brace on. It's just, and then as they won, they just increasingly got worse and worse and worse to where I was, after hearing these stories, I would have legitimately been very, very concerned if we would have won that game of how the families would have been fine. I mean, once people found out who Case Keenum's sister was, they had to huddle around her to keep her safe.
That's
It was the most horrific experience that I've been hearing from people. It was horrible. I'll never send anyone I love or care about back to that stadium.
I don't blame you. We'll have more on Philly from Jeremiah Searles. Our favorite Viking is in. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. Quick time out of Jock Talk on the Olympics, then we'll wind down a Wednesday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Talk Wednesday. Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert with us. Dr. Brandon, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Chris. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in. We're doing well, and a lot of excitement here in Lincoln and around the state between basketball and football, but also Olympics going on, Winter Olympics, and we've kind of gathered around the old fireplace as a family and watched about as much snowboarding and skiing as we can. Dr. Brandon, how's your air? How high can you get on that snowboard or the skis?
I don't even get on the board. I just run far away from anything that looks like a ramp.
You just kind of wave at it, huh?
Yep.
Hey, honesty's perfect. I love it. Well, so many phenomenal athletes and so much success for the United States. And let's focus here on some injuries. Not to be negative, but things that can happen when you're snowing and skiboarding or flying through the air, doing flips and turns. And what are some common injuries, Dr. Brandon, that your weekend warrior that may head to the mountains can and do suffer from? And what are some common injuries you see with Olympic athletes when they're training and getting ready for their moment of glory?
Yeah, you know, number one, you know, knee injuries are huge, especially when talking skiing, alpine skiing. That would be the most common thing, you know, that we see. That it's pretty amazing how many of those injuries there are, especially when you look at more of the kind of weekend warrior types, the folks that are only skiing maybe once or twice a year. We just see a ton of those knee injuries, and those typically are more ligament related. A lot of ACL injuries. from skiing. You tend to see with skiing even more so than like the contact sports, you tend to see more multi-ligamentous type injuries, meaning you get the ACL, then usually the MCL. With that, any of those kind of high-level ligament injuries like that, we do see quite a few meniscus injuries I mentioned before. So those would be kind of the biggest ones. Moving on from, you know, the knee-type injuries that you do tend to see on the snowboarding side, you know, what people typically do the snowboard, well, there's a ton of falls, and when you fall, you kind of put your hands out in front. So we see a lot of wrist fractures. In particular, kind of a bad wrist fracture you can have is a scaphoid fracture. That's one of the little small bones in the wrist that folks have probably heard a lot about. We do see a lot of wrist and scaphoid injuries from our snowboarding athletes, especially, again, kind of the ones that are only going out once or twice a year. And what's tough about those is the scaphoid is one of those bones everybody hears a lot about because it doesn't have great blood supply. And so when you have a scaphoid fracture, it's kind of a higher risk of not healing, even in somebody young and healthy. But also, scaphoids are one of those injuries you can have that kind of feels like a wrist sprain and feel like you can kind of do a lot of things. And so some of those folks will fall, injure their wrist, and not go and get x-rays. They'll just kind of continue on with this kind of nagging wrist pain, and eventually they do come in, and then it's, you know, 6-8 weeks, sometimes a couple months later, and like, doc, my wrist hurts, and you get films, and they've got a scaphoid fracture that's been there for a while, and that's a big problem. So those would be some common things that we typically see, at least initially, from a lot of our population that goes out, skis a couple times a year.
Talking Winter Olympics, a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert. When it comes to multi-ligament injuries, and you see them once in a while, God forbid, in football, you just mentioned that they can be common when it comes to skiing. And when it comes to suffering the injury, you think of non-contact in football, and then you immediately, I think of the contact in winter sports, trying to stick the landing. Can you describe just the tension and pressure and just mileage that goes on your knees when you're landing, when you're sticking that landing? I'm not talking about wiping out. I'm talking about when you execute it and that force that comes down and meets that cold, hard ice and snow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, great question. Obviously, you think about there's some charts and some data out there that looks at, you know, different types of activities and, you know, how much does that kind of multiply the force that goes through your knee. So, you know, comparing it to, say, standing versus walking versus running, jumping, and you start talking about, yeah, sticking landings on those, you know, big jumps, and that's a significant amount of, you know, kind of exponentially multiplied force that goes through your knee. So if that occurs, what sees that? Well, obviously the ligaments see it, so there's a little bit of stretch there. But usually if it's more of a kind of a controlled landing, the ligaments aren't feeling that much of it, or at least enough so that it's causing injury. But the parts that we worry about would be kind of on the cartilage side. So in essence, that really is when you're sticking a big landing like that. I mean, that is kind of a traumatic event every time that happens. And so every time that happens, you're sustaining this direct blunt trauma to your cartilage. And then you start to worry about those folks kind of having early arthritis down the road, cartilage starts to get some cracks in it, that kind of stuff. And so I think those are definitely very real injuries. Hard to measure those because obviously you're going out, you're doing that every day. It's tolerable. You're not MRIing those patients unless they have, you know, true injury. But it'd be interesting if there's a way to kind of quantify some of that kind of, you know, micro trauma occurring on a daily basis, which clearly it does with, you know, activities that they're doing. Absolutely.
Dr. Brandon Seifert's with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, talking Winter Olympics, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We haven't got to the foot and ankle issues that can happen with skiing or snowboarding. And my folks used to go skiing, and once in a while, one of their buddies would have they broke one of their feet, or there's an ankle issue. That's still pretty common and a potential danger out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. You know, and the biggest thing there, if you try to distinguish, you know, between the two, so talking skiing, alpine skiing versus more snowboarding, it's really the way your feet are secured in the boots. And so if you've done both of those, you know, your feet are secured differently in the boots, snowboard versus alpine skiing. And so when that happens, it's basically kind of a force transfer issue. And so it changes kind of where those injuries tend to occur. So if you're looking at our snowboarders, they tend to have more what we call kind of hind foot type trauma. And so kind of involving the ankle joint or even involving the bone at the bottom of the ankle called the talus. They tend to have those type of injuries versus your typical alpine skiers. They tend to have more trouble kind of right at the top of the boots. You kind of get a rotational injury to the top of the boot, and it kind of breaks the fibula of the small bone at the top of the boot. Those are kind of two differences there. So we definitely see more kind of significant foot trauma with the snowboarding side, and those can be pretty nasty injuries. You know, if you fracture your talus, have an injury to your navicular, those are not good injuries to have. And sometimes the recovery on those can be really slow. And sometimes those are bones that don't like to heal very well. Again, even in young healthy patients, as opposed to your fibula fractures, those heal really well. Oftentimes, some of the higher level fibula fractures, like further up on the leg and the fibula, some of those you can just treat non-operatively. So definitely a difference in severity in those injuries, depending on which type of, skiing, snowing activity you're doing.
Dr. Brandon, about 30 seconds from a preventative standpoint, the equipment that the athletes are using, pretty good selection in your opinion when it comes to cushioning and being about as athlete friendly as possible out there?
Yeah, really great equipment. One thing we'll recommend to some of our folks who are doing the kind of, snowboarding activities is get some wrist splints, get those little Velcro wrist splints, have a little metal plate in the bottom, they're Velcro, kind of a black color, lace up, have some Velcro straps. That can give you a little extra support when you fall. So we'll tell some of our folks to do that. On the skiing side, there have been a few studies that show wearing the big bulky knee braces can prevent some MCL injuries in athletes while skiing. However, they haven't really been shown to prevent ACL injuries. So, it's really hard to strongly recommend braces for the knees with skiing.
Dr. Brandon, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
You bet, Chris. You guys take care.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
That I do, Kramer. Winding down, Jeremiah Searles kind enough to hang out, making a stop before he is off on the Searles World Tour. He'll be back various times during the spring here on Hail Varsity Radio. Searles, a lot's been talked about. People have moved on, excited about Scott Frost. You've had some thoughts on the previous staff, strength and conditioning, just the Riley regime. What did you kind of glean from your time down there? You spent the last 3 years working on it.
Yeah, and like everything I say here is not an indictment on the past staff, because they were great to me. They let me everything. And I honestly thought that the strength program that was implemented at Nebraska was a good strength program. I was in there. I watched these guys move weight. These guys did not. And so a lot of this, they weren't lifting. They worked. I will never take that away from these kids that they didn't work.
Did all work or just some?
But there's in the thing where I don't think that from the top down, meaning Coach Riley, he tried to run his program more of an NFL style. He tried to run it more of a personal accountability aspect of you will work as hard as you want to work type of thing. And as kids, you need more of the push. You need the old Dobson where I still wake up at 4 a.m. terrified that I'm going to be late type of thing. Where, if you're late, you're doing get-ups, you're doing running, and I know that Riley wasn't big on punishment, wasn't big on, but I think that you need to learn those habits, especially if you want to move on to the next level, because you learn those habits. It's like anything. It's like you grow up and your parents teach you how to be a good person, how to do things the right way, and then they shift you off to college and hope that you continue to do those things. Right. To where if you want to play NFL football in college, you got to learn how to be accountable. You got to learn how to be on time. You got to learn how to do all these things, because when you get to the NFL, no one's there holding your hand. And I think that's part that was lacking from this last regime, that I can already, being around Coach Duvall, I talked to Davidson for a while, you can tell that's being instilled. You can tell that was kind of a number one, that we're going to instill that. And that's a great building block to learn off of. That's a great foundation for these kids to continue to go up with.
That hands-off approach, it's leadership style, and it's communication, and then it's enforcement, and you got to allow your strength and conditioning coach or their staff to
do what they want to do. You got to let them implement their program.
Sure.
And I think Duvall is going to implement what he wants to do, how he sees things done. And if no one gets in his way, I think he's going to have a fantastic job of it. And I think that Frost is going to hand the reins over to him. I mean, obviously, I'm speaking out of what I think. He's going to hand the reins over to him and be like, do what you do. And I mean, with all the facilities that we have, with everything that's at the fingertips for all these guys, the sky's the limit for the strength and conditioning program here at Nebraska. I mean, it's one of the best in the country.
Do you agree that with a strong strength and conditioning program and everyone on the same page, it will translate to being that badass in the fourth quarter?
I sure hope so. I mean, that's what you train right now for. That's what you train in January, February, March, April, May, is you train for that for the fourth quarter in November. Because it's not a light switch. It's not something you can turn on and off. It's something that takes a long time to develop, and they're starting the right way, so I hope.
Searles, you're awesome, brother. Good to see you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Glad to be back.
I will figure out Game of Thrones and let you know. Danny, are you going to the casino with Searles later?
Yeah, that's our plan. I think we established that during the break. So,
get the
he's buying.
Get the chicken fried steak.
Yeah, buying the hot dogs.
Good enough. If you missed any part of Mr. Jeremiah Searles, catch the podcast on iTunes, HaleVarsity.com. Back at you tomorrow at 4 with Hale Varsity. Thanks.